Hello and welcome to a new episode of Other Record Labels. I'm your host, Scott Orr, where we talk about the art and culture of running an independent record label. And today, well, first of all, I have a cold. I don't know if you can tell. So just a little warning that my voice is going to sound a little sexier than it normally does. And yeah, and it normally sounds pretty good, right? Your words, not mine. Okay, today I want to talk about how to be more innovative as a record label. First of all, why is innovation important for business owners, or in our case, record label business owners? And trust me, I've tried to think of a better synonym than innovation. Innovation feels like a tech industry word or like aerospace or something. I see it more though for us as creative entrepreneurship. Like it or not, we're all entrepreneurs in our own way. And of course, we're all creatives as record label owners or people who work in the music business. We're creatives. We're contributing to the creative culture. So innovation is simply just being creative, but with our business. And I see innovation, and again, every time I say it, I just think of like, you know, hospitals and universities and that kind of stuff. Forgive me. But I see innovation as a gateway. It's a gateway to doing more of what you love, a gateway to doing less of what you don't love, a gateway to sustainability, to more revenue, to something out there that you couldn't imagine a way to pivot your business or breathe life into your business altogether. It's a way of existing that you previously didn't think was possible until you innovate. So I want to talk about that. As we talk about creativity and how it relates to entrepreneurship, something we're going to do over the next few weeks, by the way, I want to take a moment to thank this week's sponsor, Infinite Catalog, because without people like them who help us take care of the necessary but unsexy part of running a record label, we're then able to focus on the fun stuff like being creative or being innovative. So check out Infinite Catalog, the best way to keep your artists in the loop about their royalties and to help make sure that everyone gets paid on time. Go to infinitecatalog.com, and for a special discount, you can go to infinitecatalog.com/other record labels. The link is in the description of this episode. There are five ways I want to help you be more innovative. By the way, I'm very excited about this episode. I just think we're going to have some pretty big breakthroughs here. I'm really excited. These are ways you can activate that creative innovation trigger in your mind. I can't tell you exactly how to be innovative in your own label or in your job. That's something that only you can do because you have the specifics. But today, I have five key perspectives, key principles that will hopefully help stimulate a little bit of innovation. Number one, create conflicting goals. What's a conflicting goal? Well, the definition is where two objectives are incompatible with each other. They're pulling in opposite directions. For example, a smartphone creator is looking for better battery life, but also a slimmer size, or any product that wishes to offer a lot of features yet wants to be affordable. Those are conflicting goals. This isn't a bad thing, by the way. This is a good challenge for our brains, a sort of Steve Jobs approach to building a product or a business. Conflicting goals exist in the record label business as well. I'll give you a couple examples. So let's say you want mainstream success with experimental, weird music. What about promoting full albums? The idea of listening to an album for 45 minutes from start to finish. Promoting that to the TikTok generation? Or what about a sustainable record label with vinyl being sold for under $20? These are examples I just made up, but they're examples where they're conflicting because it feels like you can't have both. You have to pick one or the other. So think of two desired outcomes for your record label. What are two things you'd like to see accomplished over the next year with your record label? Two audacious and perhaps conflicting goals. What are two things that you don't think you could have at the same time? True to your sound, but lots of sales. A strong social media presence and a committed customer base of vinyl records. A best-selling jazz artist on an electronic label. Conflicting goals, here's what I like about them. It engages our brain. It gives our brain a puzzle to work with. Our brains, which are lazy in nature, now want to create a bridge to connect these two goals. This is where innovation happens. Number two, scratch your own itch. Scratching your own itch is a cultural phrase often used in the entrepreneurial world to describe the process of identifying a problem or need that you personally experience and then developing a solution for it through your company or whatever it is that you're thinking about doing. Essentially, it means solving a problem that you yourself are experiencing or have experienced in the past. In the context of starting a business, scratching your own itch, which I'm going to say quite a bit in this segment, and it just seems kind of a gross expression, so I apologize. I guess it just depends on where you imagine that itch to be. Anyway, this implies that the entrepreneur is intimately familiar with the problem that they're trying to solve because they've experienced it firsthand. In fact, most businesses that start by scratching their own itch start off without even planning to be a business in the first place. This is my example of other record labels. I've told you this many times over the past 6 years, where I was running my record label year seven, feeling my itch was that I felt alienated. I felt I didn't have a community. I felt separate from the group of cool indie labels out there. I had been doing my label thing for 7 years. I thought that was a long time. And yet, and I've told this story before, if you want to feel sorry for me, somebody on Twitter back in the old indie label Twitter community days posted like over 100 or 200 indie record labels. Like it was a giant thread of labels that people should check out. And I think this person and I, we like followed each other even, and they didn't include my label on that list. There was like 150 labels. And I was like, what am I doing wrong? And so I was like, I'm just going to go and I'm going to start a podcast, and I'm going to completely not podcast, weren't innovative. Well, they kind of were back then, but like, you know, I'm going to start this podcast and I'm going to ask other record labels for advice and see if they'll help me, because I feel my itch is that I'm feeling like I suck right now. And I feel like there's labels who are doing it better than me, and I want to find out. That would, to me, is like the best example of scratching my own itch. And I had no idea what would come from it. It was just, I needed help. Innovation can be found in scratching your own itch because the need or the problem is so specific to you. And it's specific to your viewpoint. Even if the problem exists for other people, no two people experience the problem the same way. Another example was the studio tours I used to do. This was before the podcast, but a couple years before the podcast. This was probably the first and most innovative thing I did. And maybe year five or six of my record label was I started a YouTube series called Studio Tours. And it was like a biweekly trip to a local recording studio just to talk about gear and to take nice camera shots of gear porn, mostly because I was really into gear and recording and mixing. So I wanted to have fun and meet people and go to some of these cool studios. It really took me out of my comfort zone. And I ended up meeting a ton of great people. And a lot of these studio tours, probably like, we have like 500,000 views on these tours over the years. And this project scratched two itches for me. First of all, number one, the desire to stop promoting myself. I felt like every time I went on social media to talk about my record label, it was just talking about me or talking about my artists. And I just felt like I was annoying people. And so I thought, what if I went on and talked about somebody else completely different that had no bearing on my business? Would that, you know, kind of like awaken people? Like, would that kind of disrupt the algorithm a little bit? And the second itch was that it was this desire to do things in an adjacent field of recording. I was really into recording and mixing and studios, and that's kind of connected to the music industry, it was connected to, you know, being a record label in a way. And so it was two itches: to stop promoting myself and to do something in the adjacent field of recording. And here's the beautiful thing about scratching your own itch. Best case, your idea is super innovative and you start a new arm or a new product or promote your record label successfully or something big comes out of it. Worst case, you waste time doing something that you're super passionate about. I mean, those studio tours, did it bring attention to my label? It did. It really did. And I mean, our YouTube channel grew incredibly huge because of it, or it just grew. It started growing because of them. But like, worst case scenario, I was hanging out in the studios for free and just talking music with people. That was the worst case scenario. Is that, and I was promoting them as studio owners. So like worst case scenario, I was just having fun. Number three, embrace failure. If you're not afraid to fail, then you won't be afraid to try. I think that's somebody else's quote. Or is that my quote? If you're not afraid to fail, then you won't be afraid to try. Yeah, I think I wrote that. Anyway, being truly innovative must come with the risk of failure. Let me repeat that. Being truly innovative must come with the attached risk of failure. Otherwise, I don't know if you're actually being innovative. If you're doing something that major record labels have done many times before or things your peers have done, maybe you're putting your own spin on it. That's great. But if failure isn't a risk, then this is iterating, not innovating. When you have the potential to lose your shirt, to lose some or a lot of money, or to be laughed at, to be criticized by your peers behind your back, or worse, to be ignored, then you might be onto something. Now, let me not glorify failure or give the impression that if your idea is risky, that it will succeed, because it probably won't. I mean, this Patreon idea, podcast idea, product idea, it's probably going to fail. That's kind of the point. Most likely, it will come in slightly under your expectations. You'll probably view it as a disappointment. That's okay. At least you tried. At least you did something bold that most of your peers are too afraid to try. My point is, if you're afraid to do something, if you're afraid of being embarrassed, if it's something you'd be more comfortable not attempting in the first place, well, that sounds like something that you should move towards. That's a sign there might be something there. Number four, focus on others. This is something I kind of alluded to with our studio tours. The key to innovation is not to focus on your problems, but on the problems of others. It's a form of generosity, yes, but it's actually a smart business move as well. To put yourself more so in the shoes of your fans, of your audience, to be empathetic to their needs and wants. Just look at some labels, other record labels, Instagram or Twitter, not other record labels, but like just other record labels in your community, your peers. What are they saying? Look at the language of their ads and their emails. Whose problems are they talking about? The copies like new album out now on color vinyl, pre-save our new single on Spotify. Records are now back in stock. We're now on Instagram threads. Follow us over there. We're cooking up something really special for you. Stay tuned. These are not bad things, not evil. I'm not making fun of you, but they're from your position or the position of the artists. It's almost aloof. It feels kind of out of touch. Bigger brands understand this. Nike, their ads are kids playing basketball and then making it to the NBA, or women running at dawn before going to work, or someone hitting the ice before the rest of your team does. It's aspirational marketing. Apple is the same, not necessarily about their specs of the devices, but what artists and creatives can do with their tools. The life that their iPads and laptops will potentially give you. It might be BS, sure. It's manipulative. I get it. But at least it represents a shred of empathy. Now, put yourself in the position of the music fan. In fact, when you've heard about a new record that somewhat interested you, why didn't you buy it? Why didn't you order it online? What was the roadblocks you experienced? Or why did you buy it? Why did you stop everything and click through to that post or add it to your library? Think like a music fan. Take note of the things that excite you as a music fan, or the things that you experience that you find fulfilling about being a music fan. Go back to our very first episode 6 years ago with Trouble in Mind Records. And there was a story in there in that episode that kind of blew me away. And I had found one of their records before, months before this episode aired. I had found one of their records in a record store and I bought it without question. And the reason why was because it was priced incredibly low. They had this goal in the early days. Now, I'm not sure if it's still true now because of inflation, but they wanted the records to come in under $20, which is crazy. And I mean, these records were like $16.99, like sometimes like $15.99. It was insane. And I mean, think about that. First of all, that's super innovative. I mean, I know it's very simple. The idea of having, and it goes back to those conflicting goals of like, you know, making more money and then making it more affordable for artists to get your records. But this idea, and it was based out of empathy. Bill had worked in a record store and saw people literally walking around with a handful of records and then before coming to the cash to check out, putting a few back. Why? Because they're all super expensive and they have a limited budget. And so this goal based in empathy to keep their records under $20 was super innovative. And it was solving whose problem? Not the label, not the artist, but the music fan. How cool is that? Record labels and indie artists promoting their music can benefit from focusing on the music fan more than on themselves. And finally, number five, stop copying. Do something different, please. If there is one main objective I have when I'm interviewing labels for this show, it's to highlight record labels who are veering off into crazy, non-traditional directions. It's so simple and regular of us to follow each other's model, to create record labels that are based on the labels that have come before us, major labels, to sign an artist, tease a single, release a single, repeat, tease the album, pitch the album, release music video, tour, repeat. I get it. I do that too. It's the easiest. If there's a template for what sort of works, why deviate, right? But to deviate is to innovate. I'm with you though. I'm lazy. I'm actually just too busy worrying about uploading the track, getting vinyl quotes, working on the next record, mastering. I don't have extra time to reinvent the model of being a record label. So it's easier said than done. I understand. I'm putting that out there. But when we continue to copy our peers, our ancestors in the record label history, we're probably going to get the same results. To deviate is to innovate. Is there somewhere small that you can deviate? Is there somewhere huge that you can deviate as a record label? Is it no pre-release singles? Is it the entire album as a pre-release single? All the songs on the album being released before the album comes out? Is it a surprise drop of the whole album the day after it comes out of the studio? Look at this model that you're following and understand that an easy way to innovate is not to necessarily invent something brand new. It could be as simple as not doing something we've done 100 times before. Go to otherrecordlabels.com/innovate to digest this episode, to watch the video version, to see how handsome I am in real life. We use lots of video effects and lots of camera tricks and makeup for that. And I encourage you to innovate as a record label. Attempt to work with two conflicting goals. Can you find a way to sustain the livelihood of your artists while making music more affordable to fans? Scratch your own itch. Great innovation, organic innovation, starts with something you are truly passionate about. Embrace failure. Experiment more. Take risks. Put yourself in danger. Feel the burn, as they say. And focus on others. Design and build a company based on empathy. And look for ways you can deviate from the traditional model of running a record label. Sign up for Infinite Catalog to help you take care of your record label's royalties so you can focus more on being an innovative record label. Go to Infinite Catalog to learn more. I hope you're having a great week. I hope you do have a good week. Thank you for being a listener. And send me an email sometime. I miss you. Love to hear from you. Thanks for listening.